caution. You are about to enter the no spin zone. The Factor begins right now.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Joe Muto is a former producer for the Fox News show The O'Reilly Factor. His departure from the network was hastened by the discovery that he was also the Fox News mole for the website Gawker. His adventures behind the scenes are chronicled in the new book, An Atheist in the Foxhole, a liberal's eight-year odyssey inside the heart of the right-wing media. He recently spoke with Essential Pittsburgh contributor Jeff Ritter, chair of the communications department at La Roche College.
So who do you think is the audience for this book?
I think there's a pretty wide audience for this book. Obviously, the first and most obvious one would be people who dislike Fox News and would like to see it mocked for 300 pages. That would be the obvious built-in audience. But I think people who are fans of Fox News would also be interested in this book because it does give an insider's account of what it's like to work there. And it's not all bad. I mean, it's not an angry diatribe against the network. I will give credit where credit is and say when I think that Fox does things right. I'm complimentary in parts. So I think anyone who just wants to know more about this sort of closed off, you know, slightly mysterious news organization would benefit from reading this book. And also, not to toot my own horn, but it is very funny and entertaining.
Yeah, fun to read, and it's kind of a mystery story, too, in there. Do you have any movie options yet? Anybody talking to you about making it into a great film?
No, I'm not going to jinx any deals, but there has been a little chatter surrounding that. It's now that the book is out, I think it's sort of building. But someone I spoke to compared it to Catch Me If You Can, the Leonardo DiCaprio movie. It's, you know, it's sort of a caper, mm-hmm. You know, and I'm sort of I can't really see myself as a Hollywood protagonist, but I am sort of bumbling and I'm sort of a lovable goofball, I guess.
Okay, you've got some chameleon aspects
you
in
could
there
say,
too.
Yeah. There's a lot of fun things in this book that I think would translate very well to on screen. But I think that's, you know, that's probably a long shot.
Well, we hope so. In terms of the political content, a lot of people feel that Fox, you know, is a branch of Republican Party, and Roger Ailes being the head of it certainly makes that obvious. Working for the organization and being from television and news media, do you think Fox really serves a legitimate news purpose in what they do, or is it really just for their own troops and preaching to the choir?
I think a big portion of it. I mean, the audience is made up, as near as I can tell, almost entirely of conservatives. I mean, there are, you know, there are people who watch it, maybe hate watch it, perhaps would be would be the term for it, who don't agree with it. But just judging from the emails that we'd get every day, the viewers are, for the most part, conservative. But it does serve a news purpose in that there is a marketplace of ideas, and it is, I think, ultimately valuable to have as many voices out there as possible. I'm not one of those who would advocate shutting Fox down, for example. I think they have the right to say what they want to say. I think where they fall into trouble is they're a bit disingenuous about it, is they wrap themselves in this sort of fair and balanced mantra. And anyone with eyes and ears can see that's not the case. This is not an organization that exists to report the news fairly. This is an organization that exists to report the news with, you know, the slant that they want to give it.
Even in that considerable news hole in the middle of the day when they're not having their opinionated talk shows, you think it's legitimate news? You think they're slanting that news too?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's some parts that I think play it down the middle, like Jeff Smith's show. His two shows, actually, the 3 p.m. and the 7 p.m., are pretty down the middle. And I think there's some good journalism happening out of the D.C. Bureau as well, the 6 o'clock special report show. I think they're a lot less given to sort of partisanship. But uh-huh. It's still there. It inflects every aspect of the network. I don't think there's much of a separation between the opinion shows and the straight news shows.
Okay.
There's no firewall.
And have you checked with the MSNBC mole? Do they have the same thing going on in the Democratic side?
Yeah, so somewhere there's a Republican at MSNBC biding
sure
in time.
Sure there is, yeah.
MSNBC is an odd case because their left turn was relatively recently, and I suppose it's still up in the air whether or not it's going to work out for them ratings-wise. So far it hasn't, and Fox is still number one and has been with a bullet for many years now. But MSNBC, at the same time, is more, I think, owning its liberal brand. They have that lean-forward slogan and ad campaign. And that, to me, was sort of their declaration that we're going to lean left on issues. And, mm-hmm. and Fox has never struck that stance. Fox has somehow maintained the editorial facade that they're the fair ones and everyone else is liberal, and that's why they seem conservative by mm-hmm. comparison. And I just don't think that's the case.
Right. So, the great suspense of the book as reading it is waiting for the Gawker post when you really get around to it. And it's kind of random what you did, what you actually put on there. I won't give it away, but what were you really trying to accomplish with getting that material on Gawker?
The original concept behind the writing for them was to sort of give an insider's view of what it's like to work there and maybe just give some tidbits. You know, I wasn't trying to bring the company down from the inside or anything. If I was trying for that, I failed miserably, obviously. I don't want to give your listeners the impression that this plan to leak to Gawker was in any way well thought out or or considered for much longer than 5 minutes. What happened was I went to Gawker because I was planning on leaving Fox. I'm like, I'm ready to leave Fox. I'm going to get out of here. Maybe I'll start looking for another job. So I met with the Gawker people and just said, hey, look, I'm leaving Fox in a few weeks, and maybe after I'm gone, I'll come work. I wouldn't mind coming to work for you guys. You know, do you think there's a spot for me? And they said, well, why don't you come work for us while you're, you know, still mm-hmm. employed there? And my dumb ego kicked in and said, great, yeah, great idea. What could possibly go wrong? And 3 weeks later, the two security guards were leading me out of the building.
Right. So you weren't trying to really accomplish some huge goal. You were just sort of muddling along in some direction.
Well, you know, the eventual goal was to sort of get in with the Gawker people and then work for them. So I wasn't, but as far as revealing stuff about Fox, no, I wasn't working towards any particular big reveal. You know, I was just sort of trying to give a flavor of what it's like to work there, and especially what it's like to work there as someone who doesn't agree with the network's ideology.
After you were eventually removed from the building and eventually really charged with a crime, and you found yourself in a court of law, did Gawker help you out? Did they give you any legal advice or give you a lawyer to talk to?
Yeah, Gawker paid for my legal counsel, so and I'm indebted to them for that at the very least. And it's one of those things where I did not set out to break the law. If I had known that was even a possibility, I would not have done any of this. I'm a mild mannered person. I'm not a lawbreaker. But I'm told that I ended up pleading out to a misdemeanor, yeah. And you know, I'm gonna have to do some community service and pay a fine. So I'm told it's a little harsher than it normally would be for a first time offender, and that someone somewhere was trying to make an example of me, but I'm going to refrain from feeling sorry for myself because I did it.
Yeah.
And charity work and community service is good for the soul, so I'll just chalk it up to karmic payback.
It was great to see a guilty plea. I love seeing that. Any regrets about the whole thing, though? Any regrets that you did it?
Let me tell you this. I do not regret leaving Fox. My time there was done, and it was, you know, if I had had to endure another election year at the network, I would have jumped out the window and splattered myself on Sixth Avenue. But I regret the manner in which I left. It was not the most dignified end to my 8-year career to be hauled out of the building by two security guards. I mean, that was, like I said, not a well thought out plan. And I didn't think about all maybe the bridges I would burn. There's a lot of people who I was friends with who are rightfully so, you know, very angry with me, and you know, some of them still have not reestablished contact with me. So that hurts, and that's one of the things that I didn't think through all the way. I thought of, you know, I did not think of the effect this would have on other people. Mm-hmm. So there are definite regrets as far as that stuff goes.
Okay. It's Essential Pittsburgh, and we're talking with author Joe Muto about his book, An Atheist in the Foxhole, A Liberal's 8-Year Odyssey Inside the Heart of Right-Wing Media. And since you've been, you worked with Bill O'Reilly, you got to know him pretty well. You got a great description of his size and intimidation. I love that part. Does he realize he's an entertainer, or does he really think he's doing ideological legwork for the party?
He craves legitimacy, I would say. He, I think, has a chip on his shoulder about not getting recognition from his peers in the media industry. He, from his perspective, he is the number one guy on cable news and has been for more than a decade, and he thinks that he gets short shrift and that, you know, media critics like to pay a lot of attention to, you know, Anderson Cooper or Joe Scarborough or someone like that, and they ignore Bill O'Reilly, who's been quietly plugging away with the highest ratings on cable news. So he does have a chip on his shoulder over that. But he also knows that his job is more than anything to get ratings. You know, he really prides himself on being number one, and he will do anything he thinks will keep him on the top. We get the ratings every day at 4:30 in the afternoon, the ratings from the previous day's shows, and he pores over them with a magnifying glass practically, and, you know, analyzes the competitors, analyzes his own numbers, you know, which guests are doing good for us, which guests are hurting us. And, you know, that really is the number one priority is mm-hmm. is his numbers. So he does understand that he's performing a little. I mean, if you ever see him on someone else's show, on, you know, he'll go on Leno, he'll go on Jon Stewart's show, he'll go on The View or something like that sometimes. He plays it up a little. He'll sort of play the villain for Jon Stewart's audience, and I think he enjoys doing that. I mean, he is, you know, he is quite the showman. He's definitely not unskilled at what he does.
Sure, he knows his business. Well, what's next for you, Joe Muto? Writing or more books? Are you going to get into some more spying or stalking, or maybe work for work for one of the political parties, be an operative, undercover, behind the scenes? What do you think?
Well, I'm going to, you know, I've got to promote the crap out of this thing for the next few months, so we've got many many events and interviews planned for that. And you know, following that, I would like to continue writing. I enjoyed writing this book, and I think I'm pretty happy and proud about the way it came out. And I'm done with the news, I think. I don't think I'll be trying to get back into cable news. I was burnt out on that before all this happened anyway. So, you know, I'll look at other, you know, genres of television perhaps.
All right, the name of the book is An Atheist in the Foxhole: A Liberal's 8-Year Odyssey Inside the Heart of the Right-Wing Media by Joe Muto. Joe Muto, thanks for talking with us, taking the time to speak with Essential Pittsburgh. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been great.
Thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. To hear any of our shows or segments from our programs, you can go to our archive at wesa.fm. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We'll see you again next time on Essential Pittsburgh.